SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome into the Early Line, Tuesday morning Super Bowl week edition. I'm Donnie Wrightside along with Joe Ranieri, and over the next 2 hours, we got you covered for all the hottest topics in sports. We've got everything you need. Usually, this is a Wednesday occurrence for Joe and Donnie, but today, it's a Tuesday occurrence. Who says no, Joe, and how are we feeling today?
Oh, feeling outstanding. It is that time of year again, Donnie, where we got one more football game, one more big game, and about a million different ways to dissect it. So ready to roll here with you.
Exactly. Hour number two dedicated to the Super Bowl. Got a lot of fun prop bets to talk about, as well as where these lines are going to end up and some early feelings for the game that will be kicked off on Sunday. Let's take a look at today's hot topics, the 7-7 as we start out. If you're not watching West Coast basketball and you're asleep early, my goodness, Klay Thompson drops 12 three-point shots. No, Joe Ranieri, he didn't shoot 12. He made 12 threes in a 141-point outburst against the Oklahoma City Thunder. Klay Thompson filling in very nicely there for Steph Curry's absence. 42 points in that win.
Yeah, and boy, that was vintage, wasn't it, Klay Thompson, last night? The most points he has scored in the first half of a game since 2019. So it's been a little while, but boy, oh boy, if they ever needed Klay Thompson to look like Klay Thompson of old, well, if this could be a sign of good things to come for him while Steph is on the sidelines.
Yesterday, opening night for Super Bowl week. Both teams get together. Both teams talk to the media, answer a lot of questions. Also, both owners were interviewed on the NFL Network last night. And how about this one? Nothing left to prove, as Eagles CEO Jeffrey Lurie told Sal Palantonio yesterday. For a contract extension, Lurie said, he's just what we're looking for.
Yeah, I bet he is. You got to be kidding me. I mean, and it's true. It's hard not to root for Jalen Hurts. It really is, Donnie. You know this as an Eagles fan. I mean, what this kid had to go through in college, you know, not being, playing second fiddle and having to switch teams and, you know, just couldn't get over the edge. Nobody ever gave him credit, but I guess the Eagles are finally thinking, yeah, he's exactly worth every dime we're about to give him.
Yeah, exactly. The price of the brick is going up, as we like to say, Joe. The quarterback's getting paid this offseason to mega extensions.
Oh, yes.
Watch out for those numbers rolling in. How about this one? Chip on your shoulder here for Nick Sirianni. Why would that be? Way back in 2012, the Chiefs struggling 2-14 in that season with Romeo Crennel. Andy Reid comes in, cleans house. One of those guys was the wide receiver coach of the Kansas City Chiefs at the time. It was Nick Sirianni. I know we get bulletin board material here, but you can't fault Andy Reid for coming in and saying, hey, you guys are 2-14. I'm bringing in some of my own guys. No fault of your own. That's just the way we're going to do it here. But do what you will with it, Nick Sirianni. Maybe a little bit of a snub a decade ago from Big Red.
Yeah, no, absolutely a snub here. But, you know, business is business. I'm sure if you asked him also, hey, if you could do it all over again, would you have wanted to stay? Like, no, he's on the other sideline of the Super Bowl. So it all worked out for all parties involved.
How about this one here? Moving on to some coaching information. The Arizona Cardinals, site of the Super Bowl 57, taking place Sunday. They're down to two finalists. I got to tell you right now, if you are an Arizona fan base, get fired up. Why is that? Mike Kafka, offensive coordinator for the New York Giants, and Lou Anarumo, the defensive coordinators for the Cincinnati Bengals. Does that make you want to go out and get season tickets, Joe Ranieri, to the Cardinals for 2023?
Well, if you are of the betting mind, then Lou Anarumo is a guy you absolutely want leading your franchise, because this guy has been pure money over the last couple of years as the defensive coordinator for the Cincinnati Bengals. It'll be interesting to see which direction they go here with this franchise and that quarterback.
Let's welcome in the radio audience. You're watching and listening live on the Sports Grid Network, Sirius XM Channel 159. The Early Line, Joe and Donnie, Tuesday morning, Super Bowl week edition. As we keep it with the 7-7 here, the Chiefs activate CEH. Clyde Edwards-Helaire will be playing in the Super Bowl, but also Mecole Hardman is not going to play. He's now on IR, Joe.
Yeah, another intriguing weapon now available to Mahomes and Andy Reid. So, you know, they got all these running backs now, and they all bring a little something different to the table. So it's going to be interesting to see how they divvy these up and how they're used coming up for sure.
Yeah, there you go. The screen game is going to be activated for Big Red and the Kansas City Chiefs on Super Bowl Sunday. Let's flip it over and talk a little college basketball quickly here. 81-59. If you closed your eyes, you go, yeah, Duke Blue Devils hammered the Miami Hurricanes. Not the case anymore as the Hurricanes move to 10-4 in conference play and pounded the Duke Blue Devils down in Coral Gables last night.
If you ask Duke, they'll tell you, like, what was that hurricane that just ran through this building here? Yeah. That was a whooping of epic proportions, Donnie.
Certainly was. Kansas Jayhawks 88-80 over the Texas Longhorns, two top 10 teams getting after it. No surprise, Joe, winning on the road in the Big 12 is very hard to do.
Yeah, almost impossible. Great bounce back for Kansas in Fog Allen, where they don't often lose with Bill Self as head coach.
7-4 now conference play. It almost feels like everybody's 8-3 or 7-4 there in the Big 12. We'll find out shortly who is going to take down that conference title and also heading into March Madness with their knives sharpened out of the Big 12. Certainly the toughest conference in college basketball. Yep. Talking about basketball, you know what we're going to do next, Joe? We're going to talk NBA action, a massive night that took place, including some record-breaking performances and also some teams trying to fit in with new players and some teams didn't even have their new players yet. Find out which teams those were coming up next right here on The Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back at it here in hour number one of the Early Line on a Tuesday morning. It's Joe and Donnie here breaking it all down NBA style. Let's start in Detroit. My goodness, I guess we'll start in Detroit because I don't think Detroit's season ever got started, Joe Ranieri. 14-41 now in the season after losing to the Boston Celtics 111-99. In this game, Jason Tatum, 34 points leading the way for the Celtics. No Jaylen Brown, no issues whatsoever for the C's on the road here.
No, and you're right. No Brown, no Marcus Smart. But that guy Jason Tatum works pretty well when he wants there. So as long as he's in a lineup, Donnie, I think the Celtics are going to be just fine there with 34-11. I think he even chipped in, what, 6 assists last night? He was his usual Jason Tatum self. He'll get no consideration for the MVP, and yet he quietly has nights like this all the time by himself. What a weapon to have here for the Celtics, for sure.
Yeah, the Pistons playing for ping pong balls at this point here, and the Celtics playing for a little bit more than that at this time. How about this road victory here for the Cleveland Cavaliers? A 114-91 victory over the Washington Wizards. A lot of players missing from that Wizards lineup. An easy win for the Cavaliers. If we check in here, Donovan Mitchell, hey! How about this? A plus 25 in that game, 21 points. Still not up to his scoring average, which he's been off for about a month at this point right now, but the talent level was clear. The Cavaliers pick up a victory on the road and improve their road record now to 12-16. One of those hot starts for the Cavaliers have cooled off a little bit as late. Maybe they can get going from here on out, but a good win by the Cavs on the road.
And keep in mind, they continue to be fantastic on the second of a back-to-back here. Another win for them, which is good because some teams don't do all that well on the second of a back-to-back, but back-to-back road games, no less. Really great shooting night against Indiana. Even better shooting night last night. Garland is cruising. Mobley, Donovan Mitchell. They're starting to round into form here, this Cavs team, for sure.
Yeah, it's a really talented team overall. Just when they play to their capabilities, they're certainly going to be a tough out once we get to playoff time. Tough out in the playoffs, we'll see. Brooklyn Nets, 32-21 now in the season after taking a defeat to the Los Angeles Clippers, 124-116, but a valiant effort nonetheless for the Nets, who really didn't have too many players available for this game. If we take a look at the superstars here for the Clippers, 29 points out of Paul George, 24 out of Kawhi Leonard. But yesterday, I looked at this game myself and go, you know what, Joe? I'm going to take the under 221. Not really too sure who's going to be available for the Brooklyn Nets. The Clippers aren't the fastest paced team in the league. And yet we wind up with a 124-116 final because apparently the 3-point line was unguarded here from the Clippers' perspective. 16 of 31 for the Brooklyn Nets from 3-point range. And as I said, a valiant effort here, but still a loss. The reserves and the cavalry, I guess, are coming here for the Nets sooner than later.
So explain this to me, Nets. Cam Thomas, you have what? Where you been hiding? Well, you just, is this been like the secret weapon? He comes in, he drops what, 44 against Washington on Saturday, and then you got what, comes in here, and now he drops another 40 some odd points last night. Like, where has this kid been? I think Durant, which we'll know today exactly what the timeline is for him coming back. I think the Nets, they're not done making moves. But this kid, Cam Thomas, I think he's going to get a little more playing time here moving forward for this Nets team.
Yeah, the Jordan Poole effect when all the superstars are out. Let me get mine. Still impressive, though, to go up against a good Clippers team here and drop 47 points in a leading role now. Let's flip it over to the Spurs, who also, just like the Pistons, Joe, seem to be playing for more ping pong balls, and it's been that way for a while. They get drubbed by the Bulls 128-104 in this game. Look, the Chicago Bulls, we expected a little bit more. Injured during the season, but not performing all that well. 26-27 now, but 16-11 at home. If you line up some of the starters last night, very even there. Vucevic, 22 points. LaVine, 20. And it looks like we had a DeRozan that of 19 points. But how about this? A plus 32 out of DeMar DeRozan. An easy victory for the Bulls. But that's usually what you get from the Spurs, who now have dropped to 5-19 on the road.
Yeah, and that is a team, too, that could look all sorts of different by this team time next week. The Bulls, Vucevic on the block. How about Drummond last night, huh? Yeah. Not missing a shot. He, too, looks like he was auditioning possibly for a new team he might be shipped off to soon enough. That Bulls team, there's going to be some moves made there for sure, except it ain't going to be DeRozan or LaVine, we know that.
How about the race to the bottom here, which also includes those Houston Rockets, now 13-41 on the season after getting pounded at home by 20 points from the Sacramento Kings, who dropped 140 points in regulation in this game. Sabonis with 17, Murray with 30, Fox and Hurd are both with 16 points, 8-19 now at home for the Houston Rockets. Sooner or later, they're going to have to land the plane, but light the beam, the Kings by 20.
Yeah, and maybe that's exactly what teams need here, because it had been a struggle over the last couple of weeks for Sacramento. They couldn't hit water if they fell out of a boat. And Keegan Murray, by the way, last night, phenomenal, right? 30 points, 8 three-pointers. Prior to that, though, he was 1 of 16 in his last three games from three. So all you need is to play Houston, and everything falls back into place, Donnie.
There you go. Keep it easy here. And by the way, let's take a look at this next score. Now, normally you'd say to yourself, okay, the Dallas Mavericks 124, the Utah Jazz 111. That's what's supposed to happen. You have one of the best players in the game in Luka Doncic. They barely had anybody available for this game. They drop 124 points. But also, how about these household names? 29 points from Josh Green. How about on the bench? 29 points here from Jaden Hardy, doing it all different kind of ways. The Mavericks pick up a victory as they wait for their superstar backcourt to get back in action.
The first game they have won this year without Doncic on the court. And boy, no Dinwiddie, no Dorian Finney-Smith, but it doesn't matter because, like you said, Josh Green, Jaden Hart, who knew, Donnie, who knew that they would be this lethal on the road without Doncic or their newest members of the Dallas Mavericks? So this should be an interesting ride here over the next month for sure for them.
Bay Area action, 141-114. That's an easy victory for the Warriors over the Oklahoma City Thunder. It's one of those games I took at -3.5, just trying to say, okay, Golden State is very good at home. OKC should struggle on the road, knowing that Steph Curry was not going to play. But who needs both Splash Brothers when you get one Splash Brother splashing 12 three-pointers last night in a 42-point effort, an easy win by the Warriors over the Thunder.
Yeah, see, now the problem is, too, this, and we'll talk about this, but OKC's next game, they play LeBron. And, Yeah, getting beat the snot out of like that probably going to motivate them to make sure no records happen to be broken during the game against the Lakers.
Yeah, it should be an interesting one. We'll talk about that Lakers game a little bit later. Is this the night for LeBron James? We'll certainly find out. But I got to tell you, the Milwaukee Bucks getting hot once again, improving to 37-17 on the season. 127-108 victory over the Portland Trail Blazers. And some might say, what's wrong with Giannis, Joe? 24-13-8 seemed a little bit off last night in that victory.
Yeah, I mean, that game was never in doubt at any point, at any stretch. Did we ever watch that game and go, oh, boy, he really pulled away at the end there. But, yeah, no, 24-13 was ho-hum, and yet that team was never, Portland, never in it. So, great win. And now you got Middleton coming off the bench, by the way, Donnie. So they got Middleton in this second rotation coming out. It's like, you got to be kidding me. So the Bucks really starting to ramp it up here before the All-Star break. Should be interesting second half.
And don't forget about Thanasis Antetokounmpo's 4 minutes last night with a -3. So also key in that victory here for the Milwaukee Bucks. Yep. The NBA action heating up tonight. Will records fall? Come on back and find out. It's the early line on a Tuesday morning.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
NBA action on a Tuesday night. Who says no? This is the early line, SiriusXM channel 159. Let's get after it, Joe Ranieri. Big night tonight includes the Knicks traveling down to the state of Florida to take on the Orlando Magic. The Knicks come into this game 29-26, fresh off a nice home victory against the Philadelphia 76ers. The Magic come in 22-32 and also sporting a home record of 13-13. If we set the table for this one, we open up as a favorite here at the FanDuel Sportsbook at a -1.5 price for the Knicks. You know what it's sitting at right now, Joe? Still at that -1.5 price. The total on this game, 226.5 anticipated starting lineups between the two for the Knicks. Brunson, Grimes, Barrett, Randall, and Sims. And for the Magic, Fultz, Harris, Wagner, Boncaro, and Carter Jr. Slight favorite here for the Knicks on the road. What are we looking at tonight down in Disney?
You're looking at a battle, Knicks. That's what you're looking at. Orlando quietly, Donnie, has gone 17-12 since the first week of December. December 7th, to be exact. At which particular point, Donnie, they were 5-20 on the season. They just came back on a road trip there, a nice four-game road trip. They went 3-1. They ended up beating teams like, the Philadelphia 76ers, the Minnesota Timberwolves. This was a team where it was almost automatically chalk it up. They're going to lose on the road. But all of a sudden, they're 8-8 away from Orlando. And now all of a sudden, they get to go, they go home. And now the Knicks, who come back from 20 against Philadelphia. This is a tough spot for the Knicks. Like Orlando here, you got to be excited if there are any Orlando Magic fans even left in the world here, Donnie, with those Shaquille O'Neal jerseys still. I'm thinking you got to be excited for the youth movement you got going on in this organization right now.
Yeah, no Penny Hardaway, no Dennis Scott out there. I mean, come on, let's bring back little Scott Skiles out there, point guard here for the Magic. Fire up that fan base a little bit.
For
so
three.
We'll see what happens tonight. Yeah, exactly. I mean, come on, man. It's been big time down there at the O Arena, but not big the case time anymore for the Magic. Wait, you played with the ping pong balls there, Magic. Let's go. Let's see what you got here. 13-13 at home can actually get over the 500 mark, so at least being competitive at home. Let's take a look at this next one because it's really interesting. The Suns and the Nets. The Suns come into this game 29-26 on the season. The Nets 32-21. But if we're trying to line this game up and see what makes some sense, the favorite here opened at the FanDuel Sportsbook for the Phoenix Suns as a road favorite, Joe, of a -4. That now sits at 4.5, a total of 226. Now, again, the Brooklyn Nets playing on a back-to-back. Look at their starting lineup anticipated tonight. Sumner, O'Neal, Harris, Simmons may be getting back in the lineup tonight, and Claxton, but not yet Kevin Durant here or any of the trade partners. At least we don't think so far. But for the Phoenix Suns, CP3, seemingly on the trade wire here, stays now with the Suns, and it looks like we possibly could be getting back Devin Booker tonight in that starting lineup, along with Bridges, Johnson, and Ayton. Looking at this line, it seems a little shallow for me. Am I missing something with this number here, or the Phoenix Suns just haven't gotten it back together, and maybe Devin Booker is just coming back for a look-see on a minutes restriction tonight? What are we looking at tonight?
Yeah, I mean, it's intriguing, too, because, listen, getting him back, Booker, for Phoenix would is everything. 10 and 11 since Booker went down, what, 5 weeks ago. They're in fifth place here, also in the West. So I think that Chris Paul and the change in ownership and the changing of the CEO and the a lot of animosity in that building and the absolute beatdown they just took the other night. It's going to be interesting here. I think there's a lot of guys are going to welcome back Booker, but I still think there's a lot of guys in that locker room that a lot of questions. Like, where has Jay Crowder been? Like, he could not help you in any way, shape, or form to win some games here when Booker was down. Like, there's so many question marks, but yet here they are right smack in the middle of a playoff race out of the West. But I do think this team is going to look totally different 1 week from today, Donnie. I think the fire sale is happening sooner rather than later with the Phoenix Suns.
Yeah, it looks like it, too, because you're right. Thursday is that trade deadline here. New ownership coming in. Chris Paul is actually on the block, which means could be on the block again Thursday night. Just thought, put him up for one trade. We're never going to trade him again. Maybe some other teams are looking at some options. Let me just quickly take a look at the FanDuel Sportsbook here, Joe. Looking at the player props for tonight, because Devin Booker is listed here at 21.5. From your perspective here, let's just say you like props here for players, specifically points. Is that something you would key into? Because Devin Booker is always higher than 21.5, but first game back, maybe some rust. Or is it one like, hey, I need to get my shots up here. It's been a long time. I'm going to shoot 20-plus times, which probably means he gets the 21.5. How do you approach Devin Booker tonight?
Yeah, carefully, because it has been, 5 weeks, Donnie? And we're talking about a shooter, so I don't know what the mid-range game is going to look like. And Phoenix loves their mid-range jump shots. But I think he'll be just having him on the court as a facilitator, not necessarily a leading scorer. I always look to fade teams when they get that first game, when they get that star player back. Back him the second game because the market is always going to overreact, right? The props are going to go through the roof. The line is going to be shorter than it should be. So I would be weary of backing Phoenix because Booker is back here. And let's face it, I mean, the Brooklyn Nets, if we're going to bet anybody's prop, shouldn't it be Cam Thomas? What are we doing here? If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Donnie, let's keep riding the kid.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you take a look at the FanDuel Sportsbook. We don't really know what the lineup's going to be for the Nets, but I guess the people in the back room are like, well, where do we price this guy? We can't throw out a 29.5 because you're then going to get a 9-point effort here. And also, my favorite question to ask, I did it yesterday when Ben Stevens joined us here on the early line for an NBA segment. We don't have props up for the Nets yet, but Ben Simmons expected to be in the lineup last night, wasn't. Expected to be in tonight. There's not a lot of starters out there. If they set his points prop at under 10, Joe Ranieri, is that a buy sign for you, or even with players where they're looking at him like, you really need to shoot tonight, does he?
No, he can't. I think you're expecting too much if you expect him all of a sudden, because Kyrie was the one guy on the team that was always yelling at him, shoot the damn ball, shoot. You know, now he wouldn't shoot it with Kyrie yelling at him to shoot it. So now that Kyrie's gone, he ain't shooting it again, Donnie. It's above the shoulders, not talent. It's above the shoulders is the issue.
I should have known last night once Ben Simmons was announced out that game surely is going over because somebody would be shooting the basketball in his spot here. Let's move forward tonight and take a look at New Orleans. The Hawks and the Pelicans tonight. Hawks come in at 27-27 on the season. The Pelicans almost identical at 28-27. If we're setting the table here for the odds, take a look at this game at a 7:30 tip. This opened up as a -1.5-point favorite for the Pelicans. Has now shot up to 2 here at the FanDuel Sportsbook. Expected some points tonight. A 234.5 showing up. Estimated starting lineup tonight for the Atlanta Hawks. Young, Murray, Hunter, Collins, and Capella. And then if we take a look at the Pelicans, McCollum, Ingram, Murphy, Jones, and Valanciunas still waiting on Zion to come back at this point. What are we looking at? Close, or should I say a short favorite here for the home team Pels?
Yeah, and that's where my money is going here, Donnie. They this team is starting to roll again. It was a just terrible 10-game losing streak in which they've now won twice here in the last few nights, an impressive fashion too, including without Valanciunas or Brandon Ingram in that last game, and they got a great win against those Sacramento Kings there, who can, as we've seen, they can shoot anybody out of the gym. But it was the New Orleans that started feeling itself, both with and without Ingram in the lineup. So I think they continue to roll here tonight. Still some question marks about the Atlanta Hawks, obviously. Maybe an overplay, not exactly a bad way to look either, but I do think New Orleans can keep it rolling here tonight and begin a nice little winning streak here before the break.
Points props at the FanDuel Sportsbook in the 20s here. Trae Young, 26.5. DeJounte Murray, 21.5. And then for the Pels, Ingram, 24.5. And also McCollum, 22.5. We'll see what happens there. Back-to-back here for the Chicago Bulls, taking on the Memphis Grizzlies. The Bulls, 26-27 on the season. The Grizzlies, 32-21, but 21-5 at home. But boy, they have certainly fallen on some hard times here. Setting the table for this one, opened up at the FanDuel Sportsbook, a -6.5-point favorite here for the Memphis Grizzlies. That's now shifted to 7.5 and a total listed at 233. Checking into some anticipated starting lineups tonight for this game. Dosunmu, Levine, DeRozan, Williams, and Vucevic here for the Bulls. And then for the Grizzlies, Morant, Bane, Brooks, Jackson, and Tillman Sr. What gives for the Grizzlies? Maybe just some home cooking to get them back on the winning ways? Because the Bulls, again, coming in on a back-to-back. Memphis, sooner or later, too much talent not to turn it around here, Joe.
Yeah, I'd be weary of this Memphis squad. I'd also be weary, though. Keep an eye on Morant again and Bane. And, you know, there's a couple of combinations there that you better be sure of who's playing with Memphis before you back them up. And I would look to play, especially at home, I would look to play Memphis early in this one here, especially if you're pretty confident that the usual suspects are going for Memphis here. They've been really, really good this season. Early boat racing teams, ending games early, just like this with the Bulls on a second of a back-to-back having to travel. This is the kind of game where if they're going to get back on track here, Memphis, it's going to be with a whooping in the first half of this game, which is where I'd be leaning here if everyone is a go tonight for the Grizz.
Trading deadline coming up on Thursday here. Any moves possibly for the Grizzlies just to shake up the monotony right now of this losing streak?
You're going to have to figure something out here. They don't need any more shooting. They need, they're going to need some, with Steven Adams being out, kind of changed their whole defensive philosophy too. So maybe some rim help.
Yeah, exactly. And you take a look at Mr. Sharp out there, maybe shook him up just a little bit too much at Crypto.com Arena about a week ago. We're going to save one game for next. That's the Thunder and the Lakers. Could it be a record falling tonight? Come on back and find out. It's the early line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back into the early line NBA talk. Why? LeBron James takes center court tonight, 10 p.m. Eastern, and we might get a glimpse of history tonight. If you're following along, 35 points to tie Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, 36 points to pass him. Let's set the table on this one. The Thunder come into this game back-to-back, 9-17 on the road. The Los Angeles Lakers clinging to playoff hopes here, Joe Ranieri. 25-29 on the season, 13-12 at home. If we're looking at the line for this one, the Lakers opened up as 7-point favorites and still are 7-point favorites here. A hefty total of 237.5. Anticipated starting lineups tonight for both of these squads. SGA for the Oklahoma City Thunder, along with Giddy, Wiggins, Williams, and Williams. And then if we take a look at the Lakers starting lineup, Schroeder, Beverly, James, Hachimura, and Davis. So superstars a go tonight. And if we're looking overall, the points prop here at the FanDuel Sportsbook is a 32.5 for LeBron James. So I'll ask you about the game itself, but obviously centered around LeBron James here for you, Joe. What are we looking at tonight? Will we have a record-breaking performance tonight at Crypto.com Arena?
So it's interesting, and I think the answer quickly as no, I don't. I think it's coming against the Milwaukee Bucks in the following game with Giannis and company on court. I don't think it's going to happen for OKC, but it's intriguing. There is a bet here, though, Donnie, in which if we all just blindly would have bet this from game one this year, we'd be rolling in dough right now. And it's simply backing the Oklahoma City Thunder in any dog roll here, guys. 32-19-1. They are 63% against the number this year. Oh, yeah. They also are 15-1-1 against the number as a road dog this year. Blindly betting plus numbers next to Oklahoma City's name every night, Donnie, would have given you a ridiculous profit so far this year. I don't see why I would change that philosophy. Yes, they played Golden State last night, second of a back-to-back, which they haven't been exactly terrible against the number in that situation either. They got their butts whooped. I don't think they're going to be in the mood or want anything to do with records being broken and parades and tape and timeout. They don't want nothing to do with that. I think they go out. I think you're going to get maximum effort tonight from the Thunder. I'm all over them at plus six, five and a half, six. Get as many points as you can. I think the Lakers, and especially LeBron, would have flair for the dramatic. Much rather do it in front of the Milwaukee Bucks than the Oklahoma City Thunder. Give me the Thunder in a dog spot here. It's made nothing but money all year long, Donnie.
I love the fact that you brought up that, Oklahoma City against the spread here being an underdog, because you hear those numbers come up like, oh, what's that, Joe? The last 5 years combined? Like, no, we're 2/3 of a season down, and they have many games which you can approach where they've been underdogs. So Sam Presti and the boys getting ping pong balls. If you're an underdog every single night, there's a really good chance that you might not be a great basketball team here, but something to keep an eye on. How about the betting markets here at the FanDuel Sportsbook on LeBron James? If you take a look at tonight and you think tonight is the night he gets those 36 points, how about this? A plus 135 bet. If you figure the favorite here, the Milwaukee Bucks on the ninth at home, that's a minus 200 price point. If you think he slow plays at Joe Ranieri, you can get 19-1 against the Golden State Warriors in Golden State. Any thoughts on that? So you feel that he probably won't get it tonight. Almost a lock that Milwaukee rolls into town, all the stars out, and he breaks it that night?
I think he gets half and half. I think he's going to be good for about maybe 18-20 tonight, and then he'll finish that up in the next home game against the Lakers. Milwaukee, which is what, Thursday? Thursday or Friday, I think it is. So I think he's going to split it up. The other possibility, too, is that, he pulls a hamstring and we have to wait until March for this thing to go on, too. It wouldn't shock me if that was the case and they just drag this thing out for another month and a half. So I do think he'll get at least half tonight, but I think the bulk of it is coming in that next game against Milwaukee.
Now let's level up here at the FanDuel Sportsbook. Let's get real technical. So when we get that 38,388th point here, will it be a dunk, free throw, three-point shot, layup, or my favorite other? And if you're breaking it down, the favorite in the clubhouse is a layup, followed by a three-pointer, followed by a free throw. My question to you is, other, is that tip-in? Is that somebody else made a three-point shot and got credited to LeBron James? Like, what can the other actually have to do with the equation here?
That's interesting too, right? That is other. I guess it could be a ricochet off him in which they accidentally give him credit for the shot. yeah. He touched it last.
Off his head?
Listen, if LeBron knows he is one bucket away from breaking the record, and the Lakers know it, again, flair for the dramatic here, people, it is going to be a dunk. They are going to absolutely have him set up, and I don't care what it is, they're going to have him set up to be able to do a windmill, and that'll be the meme for the rest of his life when LeBron broke the record. I mean, yes, it's going to be a dunk. I mean, you can bank it, bet on it now. It's coming, guys, for sure it's coming.
Now, also, I got to ask you this question, because we've seen big-time records being broken in the past. Tom Brady wouldn't even stop a football game when he broke the passing, when he broke the touchdown record. But also, let's flip it back to Drew Brees. When they were going week to week, they stopped an NFL game. They brought out a Sharpie, tore a piece of loose leaf out of a binder, and just wrote like 300 on there and had him at the 50-yard line with his kids coming out there. What's the celebration for LeBron when he does break this record? Is he going, no, let's keep playing? Or is it 45 minutes, which would include, you know, musical performances, montages on the video board? Like, what are we getting out of the celebration?
Oh, you're getting as dramatic as humanly possible. So, yes, it's going to be. They've already got guest appearances lined up. They're rolling them in here. Good luck in L.A. trying to get back to a basketball game. The minute this thing happens, it's going to be over the top. And it's going to be gaudy. It's going to be nauseating. And already I know there's a lot of fans going, can we just get this? Like, congratulations, you're still probably not making the playoffs.
Two-thirds of the season down, Joe Ranieri. Let's dip into some awards here, because you know LeBron James is going to get a nice award or a nice celebration once he breaks his record. But the MVP market, is it sewn up already? The FanDuel Sportsbook listing Nikola Jokic, you're a -115 favorite here, about two-thirds of the way through the season. The Philadelphia 76ers, Joel Embiid at 3-1, Giannis at 7-1, Luka at 8-1. Is it Jokic's to win here, or should we say to lose at this point?
I think he's already, I keep hearing the argument, why you don't want to give a guy, back-to-back, MVP?
Three times.
Like, why? Why? If he deserves it, he deserves it. It's going to be fascinating to see what happens with Doncic here and the Kyrie situation. Down the stretch, right? If his usage rate drops, which you'd have to think it should, that's the whole point of you going out and getting Kyrie. You don't want to have to use him on 40% of your offense. You want to be able to divvy that up. So maybe the numbers for Doncic come down a little bit, which I think is really the primary guy chasing him. Although I had mentioned, I mean, it's funny. Nobody's talking about, again, Tatum, what he is doing here in this season. Giannis seems to be a forgotten guy, but yet his numbers continue to go off the charts. But if we're being honest, Jokic would be my choice right now if the season ended. I don't know how that changes very much here. The guy is an absolute monster and deserves to be in the consideration for it.
Absolutely. I always like the argument, too. It's like, well, Jordan didn't get three in a row, where LeBron never got three in a row. It's like that old adage, like, hey, somebody didn't vote for Babe Ruth to get in the Hall of Fame. Therefore, nobody can go in unanimously.
Right.
It's not really the case at this point. Also, quite frankly, some of these guys are having better years than even when they had MVP years here, including Nikola Jokic.
That's
see how it fares out. But it also seems like I joked that Giannis, hey, 24, 15, and 9. I mean, the guy's really slipping off. Sounds like an MVP to me on a bad night, which is kind of crazy at this point. Let's check in on the NBA Rookie of the Year Award, because this one looks already sewn up. The Orlando Magic's Paolo Banchero, -800 to win that award. Next closest guy, Mathurin at +650. And then you get off to 30-1 with Walker Kessler. Should we just give Banchero the award this evening here?
Well, it appears that's what everyone is doing. I mean,
it
was funny. It does. We just talked about a guy, I don't know, was pretty good last night, Keegan Murray. Nobody's even talking about here. I think Ivy has been good. Great crop, shall we say, of rookies this year here, Donnie. One of the better groups we have seen. And I think that says something about Banchero's ability. If he is -800 at this point during the season, I mean, those names on that list, Donnie, that's the next generation of NBA superstars right there. You know, the next group is coming, and it's coming out of that group. It's been a fantastic season, and I think we're all going to look back on this past draft class here this year and go, wow, that was pretty impressive across the board here. And I think a few of those guys have a few championships on that list there in their future, including maybe even Banchero. Maybe not with Orlando, but maybe down the road with somebody else.
You know, here's a fun market too, Joe. We take a look at most improved player for the season. And I always get a kick out of this too, because they get the comeback player of the year in the NFL. It's like, well, you didn't get injured. You didn't weren't a starter, right. But somehow you came back, as we talk about Geno Smith. But I take a look at Lauri Markkanen at minus 145, the leader in the clubhouse. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander's plus 140. And the guy drops like 30 every night. But I sort of get a chuckle when I see like Jalen Brunson fourth in line at 40-1. Most improved player. He was very good last year. Goes with a monster contract to the Knicks, so he's anticipated to have a good year, and he's fourth in line. But it's always interesting to see the criteria that these guys will be voting on the award. Established, very good players, not having down seasons, but like Jalen Brunson still showing up at a 40-1 price here in fourth place.
Yeah, it's still it's a very strange market. You're absolutely correct with it. Now, is Markkanen having a tremendous? Yes, but I'm sorry, if SGA doesn't get some award this year, he's not gonna. He should be in the conversation for MVP. But if we're not gonna give him the MVP, then he better. This very well better be an award that we're giving this kid here. Absolutely ridiculous season that he is having. And again, they don't have that kind of, and I'm a little biased because I've made nothing but money backing OKC here again this year. And the big reason is him. Like, he's the reason why you're covering and you're cashing tickets backing OKC. He better win something this year here, Don. And if it means most improved, congratulations, most improved. Give it to SGA, please.
I mean, when the guy plays, like last year, like he would just show up and drop 35 points. Like, hey, look, we're going for ping pong.
It's crazy.
They'd sit him for four games. He'd come back and score 32 points. And the Sportsbook kept posting him at like 22 and a half and 23 points. I'm saying, who is this guy and why does he get it done? And then this year, doing almost exactly the same thing. Let me ask you this, dude. Trade deadline comes up Thursday. They're probably not going to trade him. But I always joke, like, if he ends up on the Lakers, like, just move the Lakers to the favorite because he's that good. I know he plays in OKC, but my goodness, man, SGA. Pencil him in for 30 every single night. Now, you know what you need to pencil in now? Miami Hurricanes, a basketball school? You guessed it. Come on back. Let's take a look.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, quick segment here to end hour number one before we climb into hour number two on the early line here for a Tuesday morning. Everything heating up here in college basketball. Why is that? March Madness is on deck, but we have some interesting performances from conference play. Two teams ranked yesterday, two teams at home, two teams at home getting a win, two teams also covering there. Let's take a look at Kansas and Texas here. 88-80 final in that game. Carr with 29 points here on the road for Texas. Grady Dick, 21 here for Kansas. No surprise to me, Joe Ranieri, a home team in the Big 12 held serve yesterday.
Yeah, and they continue to do it like most conferences. The numbers are there with these straight-up wins by these home teams, especially the Blue Bloods. But maybe the most important part of the victory for Kansas last night was the fact that they won this easily, and Jalen Wilson only had 4 points. And that had been the problem so far. This stretch of games in which we're going, man, this Kansas team doesn't look good. Well, it didn't look good because Grady Dick was nowhere to be found, right? The only person they could count on to score was Jalen Wilson. And if he didn't, Donnie, they went 5-6 minutes without a bucket, and then that's where the problems came in. So the fact that they had last night such an easy victory, and it was easy against Texas there, and everybody else scored but him, that could be a sign of good things to come for KU.
How about this? Miami moves to 10-4 in ACC play, an 81-59 victory over the Duke Blue Devils, 40 points easily, you know, eclipsing Duke in the first half and then sort of winning by 8 in the second. I got a question for you here. Miami with a big win at home. Legit contenders? I'm not talking about maybe cutting the Nets down, but Sweet 16, Elite 8, Final Four chances for the Canes this year?
They were last year, weren't they? Seeing? I mean, and most of that team is still back. And they only got better in the transfer portal. So, yeah, Miami is going to fly under the radar again here, Donnie. We plan on making money on them.
There you go. By the way, did somebody say Super Bowl? Yeah, we got you covered in hour number two here. What's on that? The early line. Keep it right here, SiriusXM channel 159.